everybody, and welcome to episode 39 of the Bomber Brothers podcast, proudly a part of the Pinstripe Alley community of podcasts. Sean and Ryan back with you from the holidays. Hope everybody had a happy holiday. It was, in terms of Yankee stuff, Sean, I guess it wasn't the happiest of holidays. We were definitely sad to see Dellin Betances go. He signs a one-year deal with the Mets. We were just getting out of our second viewing of Star Wars when we got that news. So, I mean, what's your initial reaction knowing Betances isn't going to be back in pinstripes?
Oh, I was bummed. I was, I was upset. You saw my reaction in real time. We were literally walking out of the movies when the alert came out. And I guess he has an option for it to change to a two-year deal, and there's some performance bonuses in there. But I was really, I was bummed. I love Betances, and as excited as I am to get Cole, it does sort of, it's sort of a little bit of an upsetting offseason. At the same time, the team is better, but you're losing guys like Didi, Betances, and obviously CeCe to retirement that we've grown to love over the years, and Betances is definitely one of them. I mean, I texted our friend Ibby, who's a big Mets fan. I was like, you're getting an awesome pro, and he's going to have maybe some command issues, but he'll always be accountable, and he has nasty stuff. So when he's right, he's just going to be dominating and enjoy it. And that's the way I feel. It's, Betances always represented the organization so well. So did Didi, and to lose two guys like that, it sucks. But it's a business, I guess. I don't understand the business case for not taking a flyer on a guy on a one-year deal, especially how he fits in New York and can handle New York. So to lose Betances and Didi on one-year deals kind of sucks.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously, first and foremost, it's kind of the more off-the-field feeling of, like you said, CeCe, Didi, Betances. I mean, for me personally, that's three of my favorite Yankees over the last few years. I mean, it's easy to forget, but just because the first few years or first couple years of his career, the Yankees might not have been the most competitive, but Betances has been among the most valuable relievers in the game since 2014. He's, led all relievers in strikeouts over that span. He's been absolutely dominant. It sucks that he had to battle through injury last year, and no, you don't know how a player is going to come back from Achilles issues. I mean, I guess the Yankees, in a way, kind of have seen it firsthand. It definitely took Britton a little while. He was dominant last year, but it certainly took him a little bit to recover from his own Achilles injury. So, who knows what's going to happen with that, especially with a big guy like Dellin trying to come back from something serious like that. But like you said, a one-year deal, it seems like it's worth the risk. Obviously, the priority this offseason, which it sounds like Cashman said up front to Didi, was we're going to be pursuing Cole, and that kind of triggered Didi to look elsewhere and get that deal with the Phillies. But for a one-year deal, you sign that Gerrit Cole contract, and you're already over the luxury tax for this year. So like the one-year deal doesn't really matter if you're using that as a goal for next year when Ellsbury comes off the books. I don't know, for a one-year deal, it's like, why not? Especially because it wasn't that bloated of a one-year deal. This wasn't a Josh Donaldson situation.
Yeah, I agree. I just, I don't get why you don't try it. I hope the Yankees offseason wasn't, let's just go get Cole and be done with it, re-sign Gardner, and that's it. I mean, I'd still like to see them tinker a little bit, especially when you're losing guys like Betances and Didi, who have been key contributors, not just off the field, as we've said, but also on the field. I mean, think about Betances' 2018 season, which was absolutely phenomenal. We'll always have the shimmy in the wild card game when he got out of Severino's jab. And, Didi has gotten so many big hits. I actually, went back and watched his grand slam that we were at a couple times this week. But the Yankees have lost some depth, whether it be in the bullpen with Betances, the infield with Didi. I mean, I still think there's probably a little bit of work to be done, nothing major, but I'm just hoping that they're not packing it in now. And it's just like, okay, we got one guy. I don't think they are, But it's curious that they've let these two opportunities with guys they know can play and fit into the clubhouse, just kind of they've let them go for, you know, not nothing, obviously, but not long-term risks. I mean, if Betances or Didi had signed three-year deals elsewhere, I'd say, well, okay, you know, you might the Yankees know their medicals better than anybody, and they might not want to lock into those sort of long-term commitments to these guys. But for a one-year show-me contract, I would have loved the Yankees to be involved with that. And that was something the Yankees used to get in on quite a bit, was one-year deal for Matt Holliday, Raul Ibanez, and they've worked out. But, you know, I guess we're going in a different direction. But, I mean, hopefully, you know, you lose Didi to the NL East, you lose Betances to the NL East, and, you know, I'm not a Yankee fan that despises the Mets or anything. I pull for them as long as they're not playing the Yankees, and wish Betances nothing but a ton of success over there in Queens, and hopefully with the new ownership and new direction that they're going in, they have things in order. But not sure I'd fully trust Brody Van Wagenen.
No, is that his come and get us move to the rest of the division that has been wheeling and dealing this offseason? Sign Betances to a 1-year deal.
I think the come and get us move was them saving money on the Cespedes contract.
Yeah. Yeah, but like you said, we already talked about this last week, and don't really need to get into it again about how, you know, signing Didi to a 1-year deal would have definitely helped the infield depth, and then if it looked like he didn't really have a place beyond next season, then hopefully he had a good year and he can sign a multi-year deal elsewhere. But he certainly would have helped in 2020, and I think the same could be said for Betances. Of course, this is a little different because he'll be coming off more immediate health issues. Didi now has plenty of time to shake off that Tommy John rust or whatever might have had him feeling a little off, if anything. But now for Betances, you've got the Achilles issue. So, you know, it definitely was much more of a wild card, but still a reliever that could have potentially helped you in the second half when maybe you're wanting to rest some other relievers or just, you know, getting ready for a playoff run and would love to have another elite arm in high leverage spots come playoff time. So, I mean, of course the Yankees are still well set in the bullpen. You have Green, Britton, Chapman. That's a pretty good. Oh, and Canely. Jeez, I can't believe I just forgot about Canely, who had a phenomenal year last year. So 6-9 is in pretty good shape. So again, it's understandable. I think not bringing back Dylan in terms of just like on the field stuff is a little more understandable than the Didi one for me.
Mm-hmm.
But again, still more just like as a fan. Sad to see him go.
I agree. I think that you can never have enough options in the bullpen, and maybe Dylan comes back and it's fine, because we know that Achilles injury wasn't nearly as severe as Britton's, from what it sounded like when it happened. And you can never have enough options in the bullpen. I feel like you always have a year where something goes wrong, whether it was Green at the beginning of this year, last year with Canely. The year before it was Betances in the second half. And just relievers are volatile. The Yankees are blessed to have many very, very good relievers. I like the Yankees theory of let's stockpile here, especially, I mean, if you have Betances and he's good, then that's just one more weapon, one more way guys can get rest. And then when you get into October, you're not burning these guys out like had to happen this year. And, you know, Boone had no choice in to do that. But, I think it was – on the field, I would have liked to have him as much as off the field, and same with Didi. I think the depth is key, and we'll see what the Yankees do for depth, and it'll be important because, you know, we saw this year how many guys we go through, and I know the Yankees let their strength and conditioning coordinator go, so hopefully the new program will lead to less injuries.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, does that just seem like this is like a move we should just make given what happened last year? I mean, did they investigate and see that like maybe there was something to the regimen that was going on, or was this just like scapegoat tactic?
I don't know. I mean, obviously not much has come out except the Yankees have let Matt Krause go, who was their director of strength and conditioning, but they didn't do it right away, so it seems like they definitely looked at things within the organization and determined that there was need for a fix. And, you know, I believe what Mark Greg had said is that the Yankees are pretty much on top of everything and at the forefront. So I would believe that the Yankees probably looked deep and looked at what other teams were doing that have had success and looked into ways that they could improve there and didn't make the move until they were sure that there was an improvement to be made. And, you know, I'm sure that this season had something to do with looking a little bit closer, but I don't think the Yankees would have made a move if they didn't think it was necessary.
Yeah, Cashman kind of alluded to that at his end of the season presser that, like, he wasn't really going to comment on any of that stuff right away, but it was definitely going to be one of the things they focused on the most this off season. So that lines up with that. Back to Betances real quick. I feel like the question kind of has to be asked, like, did Betances have any interest coming back to the Yankees after everything that happened with his arbitration stuff? I mean, we're saying we would have loved the Yankees to be in on Betances, especially for a one-year deal, but was it even an option? Was that relationship fractured in the eyes of Betances and he was ready to go elsewhere? Which, honestly, if that was his mindset, I totally get it. I would have not blamed him in the slightest if that was what he was thinking.
Yeah, I think that definitely it's sad for something that happened with the Yankees and Betances, but I would think that Cashman probably is more of a communicator to these guys than Brandy Levine through the press. And, you know, I would think that if the money was there, he knows the guys, I'm sure he enjoys the clubhouse, it would have probably worked out. But, you know, I don't know. I can't imagine letting Randy Levine ruin a chance to be a champion, especially when it seems like Cashman has good communication with these guys. Obviously, Boone runs a good clubhouse, so I would think that it was probably not as much as a factor, but something that is sad that it had to happen to him. Well, not that it had to, but it did happen to him by one of the jerks within the organization.
Yeah, God, just like talking about that brings me back to it happening in real time, and you're just like, what the hell are you doing? Like, this, that was just awful. Calling him Dylan to comparing him, considering himself a closer, to someone, to Randy Levine himself, considering himself an astronaut. And then, and the best part about that was Chapman got hurt pretty early in that season, if I recall correctly. And didn't Betances actually did have to become the closer for a while and was like, Donton's like lights out.
Yeah, no, Betances closed, you know, a couple of the year they traded, the year they traded Chapman and Miller, Betances slotted into the closer's role and did a fine job. I mean, fatigued late in the season, but, you know, they were using more than they ever had before. Betances was nothing but a great reliever. And, I'm of the mindset that the ninth inning or the seventh inning, one of them might be more important than the other. If you look at that wild card game from 2 years ago when Betances gets out of that jam we were just alluding to.
Probably the highest leverage spot of that game.
Yeah, exactly. The Yankees blow it open in the middle innings, and Chapman has an easier job than Betances. And, you know, I'm not one that's like, oh, the closer can only pitch the ninth inning or that the ninth inning is the most valuable spot. So I think that's kind of a fluid situation. We've seen plenty of guys that have never closed come into New York and pitch well, whether it be Andrew Miller. David Robertson became the closer after Rivera. Rivera came the closer after Wetland, right? It's not like these guys become worse pitchers because they pitch the ninth inning.
Yeah.
So it's just a made up title, so to speak. I'm sure Randy Levine wouldn't like it if Chad Green walks into his first arbitration hearing and says, well, I'm a starting pitcher and I want, you know, $25 million a year because I'm a starting pitcher with an ERA under three. I know ZRA wasn't under three this year because the beginning of the year, but next year it might be. And if he opens a couple games, he might have a case.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, given the Yankees' success with the opener last year, maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing, but hopefully signing Cole means we don't have to have the opener as much this year.
We have two options for the five spot right now with Montgomery and Happ, and I don't know what's going on with what's his face? The Domingo Herman, but Like, who cares? Hopefully,
Yeah, no.
And that's another thing, too, is, like, there's rumors of Josh Hader to the Yankees, which I would hate.
Please, no.
why empty? One, I mean, you know, he's said some awful things, and I understand he apologized for them and whatnot, but why bring that in? We already have enough guys that are hard to root for on the Yankees, and why empty out your prospects for a guy who did struggle at the end of last year, and we have enough talented relievers where signing one on a one-year deal, I like the depth, but giving up a ton of prospects for one, I don't like doing that, you know? You're going to empty out, the next trade the Yankees make is going to be the last one they can actually make for a while because the prospect pool has thinned so much. And why do that in a position that's already of strength? I don't get that.
No, me neither. And even from, like you said, from a rootable standpoint and cheering for the guy, I mean, imagine replacing a guy like Dellin for that. That would be tough. That would be really tough.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, I guess to close the book on this, you mentioned the wild card game a couple times, but what's your favorite memory of Dellin as a Yankee?
probably the commercial that they did.
Yeah.
For the heating and cooling. I remember one time when he struck out, I think it was Miguel Cabrera, and he like hit 100 and he turned around and he looked at the radar gun. They had just had a battle. I remember that, and that was really cool. And that was sort of when he was coming into his own. And then that wild card game obviously was another big one.
The immaculate inning.
Yeah. With some relievers like Betances or like Robertson, it's just the feeling you get when they come into a big situation. It's not like one time, but it's like you've seen it so many times and you've seen them do their job and pitch so well that it's nice. But I would just say overall the whole, I guess, last 4 months of or 5 months of last year when he had the kind of rough start in April. And then after that game we went to against the Red Sox where he gave up a 315 foot home run to J.D. Martinez, which happens in Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
He rolled after that and was awesome. And just having him come back after the rough end to 2017, the beginning of 2018, showed to his character and the talent that he has. So just watching him do that was really fun, especially as a guy that, you know, the first thing he did was when he got some major league money was buy his parents a house where he'd still lived with his parents. So, you know, it's an easy guy to root for. What about you?
I mean, the immaculate inning is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That would probably be mine just because of that's a rarity. And it also just shows how filthy his stuff is. I mean, like you mentioned, he really struggled down the stretch of 2017 and in the postseason to the point where towards the end of the Yankees postseason run, he really wasn't much of a factor. But aside from that, I mean, it's given how good the Yankees bullpen has been for a while now. I mean, you can still argue that Betances has been the most valuable over these few years. So definitely sucks to see him go. Luckily he gets to stay in New York for himself. I mean, that's, you know, mm-hmm. right around where he's from, where he's lived for a while since he's come up with the Yankees. So good for him. And like you said, I hope he comes back strong and I hope he's dominant for the Mets. And, cool that we'll get to still watch him since he's going to be in our market over on SNY.
Yeah, for me, it feels like sort of when Granderson went over there. I'm not going to stop rooting for the guy. And I'm happy for the Mets fans that they get a good player to watch.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, best wishes to Dellin. That was pretty much the only Yankee news that happened this week, so...
Yeah, that's true.
By this time next week will be the New Year, so we can do some New Year's resolutions for the Yankees that are still on the team.
Yeah, and actually today is the 100th anniversary of the sale of Babe Ruth to the Yankees.
Oh, nice! That is certainly something to celebrate.
Cheers! Oh, for sure.
All right. So, what do you want to do? Just go through the.
You want to just do like three each? We'll just rotate.
Okay, go ahead.
Want to do something like that? No, you can bat first. It's fine.
Okay, I'll do a, you know, This is kind of like such a, I'll even admit, this is a lazy one, but it's one that's applicable to some guys. So for Gary Sanchez, it would be like just to try to stay healthy because you know how valuable he is when he is healthy. I mean, look at what he did through the, you know, the early parts of last season. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, just because he's so much fun to watch when he's healthy and locked in and really feeling it at the plate, he's one of the most impactful hitters in the lineup. So that will be mine for Sanchez.
Oh. Okay, that's cool.
Not really one he can control too much. I mean, you know, things happen, obviously.
Yeah. The Yankees don't just for the whole Yankees, don't yeah. skip leg day.
Don't do last year.
Yeah, just don't do whatever kind of stretching you did last year. Do different stretching and more of it. Well, that takes about all of them away that I could think of.
let's just get that one out of the way. That's a lazy one.
Yeah, everybody stay healthy. I shouldn't have let you go first. I'll say just to all the management and fans, the resolution should be to be comfortable with what you have at first base and Luke Voit. Is just believe in Luke Voit and let Luke Voit be your first baseman. Because I know one of the writers for Pinstripe Alley put up a great article on why the Yankees already have a solution for first base, and it is Luke Voit, and he was dominant, and we've talked about this for like four episodes straight, so I won't spend too much time on it, but just believe in Luke Voit. I think that's a huge thing. I think the Yankees have a very good first baseman offensively in Voit, so that would be my first one.
Okay. For Judge, get back to pulling balls in the air. I mean, look, Judge is one of the best hitters in the league. He's one of the most valuable hitters in the Yankee lineup. Maybe is the most valuable hitter in the Yankee lineup. But we did see him last year trying to, and I think he alluded to this before the season started, that he was going to try to, you know, hit to all fields more. And then we saw his ground ball rate go up. But obviously he hits the ball so hard that a lot of those ground balls become singles. But I mean, nothing can compare in terms of value to his 2017 season when he was hitting the ball in the air and hitting 52 home runs. I'm certainly not saying that that is what I'm expecting, but Judge is definitely more valuable when he's hitting those home runs and clearing the bases. So I definitely like to see a little more launch angle from Aaron Judge this year. And maybe some of that was due to his oblique, but even before that injury, he had said that was going to be a point of emphasis for himself, and those numbers kind of showed itself even before that injury. So we'll see what his approach is like this year. Obviously he is incredible at working counts, but I want to see him crush some more baseballs because that's really fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely. My next one will be for Severino, and his resolution should be to take the next step. I think he can really has a chance to blossom this year, especially with a little pressure off as the head of the rotation. So I'd like to see Severino take the next step forward to becoming a co-ace with Mr. Cole.
All right, so then what should my last one be? I guess my last one would be I'd like to see Glaber take the next step defensively, because obviously offensively he is a monster, and it looks like he's going to be getting a lot of time at shortstop this year, which he did a good job at last year, filling in for Didi when needed, and that is his primary position. So, you know, I'd like to see him maybe take another step up there. He's still only 23 years old, so he can certainly improve. Maybe become a Gold Glove candidate. Not that would really mean anything in terms of if he was actually good or not. But yeah, let's see Glaber take the next step defensively. He's already a superstar at the plate.
So yeah, that sounds good. My last one will be for Chapman. Don't hang any sliders in the zone.
That's a good one.
Sorry, just had to. Just still stinging me. that's it. What about?
I have a quick one for Aaron Boone. Anytime that there's like a makeup or the game resumes after a rain delay, just try to get thrown out because we know there's going to be hot mics everywhere and the crowd noise is going to be down. So, just if you see that the crowd is really thin after weather came through or it's a makeup game on a weekday afternoon, just find the first questionable call and just explode.
And then let John Boy go to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah. I mean, that was, you know, I mean, talking about this season, there was so much good stuff, but I thought the social media portion of the Yankees really reached its climax this year, and just with John Boy at the forefront, it was really fun to watch the team between The Athletic and John Boy and having all that extra content and fun content that I think, I mean, as kids we would have loved, but even as adults we're really enjoying, and it really makes being a fan even more fun than it always is.
Mm-hmm.
What are you, you know, last year we did some resolutions. I forget them all. We didn't go back and listen to them, but what are you feeling more comfortable about heading into 2020 that maybe you weren't so comfortable last year?
Comfortable with the idea that the Yankees seem to be going all in for this year in terms of getting Cole. I mean, it's still, like we said, sucks to see Didi and Dellin go, but they did go and get the best available free agent and the best, if not second best, pitcher in the league. So I definitely feel better about the state of the rotation. I mean, I still felt pretty good last year. I mean, they did add Paxton. That shouldn't be overlooked. But now you have Paxton, Severino, Tanaka. Last year we didn't have a healthy Montgomery. I don't think he's going to be incredibly impactful, but he could be a perfectly serviceable fifth starter. And then you add Gerrit Cole to that mix. So I feel a lot better about the rotation. I feel a lot better about the franchise in terms of seeing, okay, they are willing to break open the bank when there is a superstar available. So those are things I feel definitely feeling better about than last year. And I just feel better about baseball in general this offseason because it seems like a lot of other teams are actively trying. The White Sox just signed Edwin Encarnacion last night. They've made a bunch of signings. They're clearly going for it, so that's cool to see. The Blue Jays signed Ryu for 4 years. Mm-hmm. So
The Blue Jays could be a problem.
Yeah, they're looking good. Pitching was always what they needed. They have those impactful young hitters, so they definitely just, I mean, they still need more pitching, definitely. But no, they can, and with the way the Yankees struggle at the Rogers Center, it's definitely going to be tougher on them this year. So, but good on the baseball as a whole for just trying to actually be good.
Yeah, I agree. My thing is, I'm last year I was very uncomfortable. This year I'm very comfortable with who the Yankees have in the dugout, and it's the same person. But I thought Boone grew a lot this year, and I've come full circle on him.
Yeah,
I'll turn on him in April when he pulls Cole in like the fifth inning at 78 pitches, and you know.
I don't think I would.
Or if he leaves
early in the year.
Or if it's the seventh inning and Severino's at 95 pitches and it's fourth time through the order.
I don't think either of those things will happen.
You never know. But, yeah, no, I'm really comfortable. I thought Boone, I mean, all season things happen, but there was nothing to me that, like, was a repetitive trend that I was like, yeah, this guy's not learning. I thought in the playoffs there was one call I disagreed with that he made. I think there were some things I could have gone either way on, like the taking Paxton out in the ALCS, which people, you know, got all up in arms about. But I thought that could have gone either way. The one thing I thought he shouldn't have done was leave Paxton in the game. We were at game five, and luckily, who's it, Chirinos hit the ball to the deepest part of the ballpark.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I thought he's done a really good job, and I'm really comfortable with Boone in the dugout, especially after this postseason.
All right. Sounds good. So I guess that's all the Yankee news, and probably won't be too much more in the near future. So we're kind of heading into
the dark times.
Yeah, exactly, before spring training. But yeah, what are you looking forward to this week?
I mean, it goes to show you, I listened back to our last episode. By the way, nobody wrote in any comments or reviews, so we don't have any questions.
It was the holidays.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna go with.
Yeah.
But we both said we were looking forward to Star Wars, and neither of us were looking forward to Christmas more than Star Wars. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And then Star Wars ruined your Christmas, so sorry about that. But yeah, I still enjoyed the movie.
No, that's good. I'm happy people did. I just am acknowledging that I'm not one of them, but that's okay.
Yeah, you told me you listened to Binge Mode on the ride home last night, and I know that they were very down on it, so I'm sure that was just fueling your anger.
Well, I mean, yeah, their thoughts on the movie, just like, obviously, they're better at articulating it than I am, but that's, yeah, I was listening to it, and as they were talking, I was like, yes, like, exactly, this is exactly what my issues were, but I don't know, I'm not going to get too upset about it. I'm just happy that more Star Wars movies are being made, and there's been, what, 12 Star Wars movies made now?
I think 11, unless you're counting the animated Clone Wars movie. Well, I mean, I won't, you know, the holiday special and the Ewok movies they made.
There's been 11 live action Star Wars movies, and there's been only three where I've been like, yeah, I didn't really like that. So that's a pretty good ratio.
And those three would be Attack of the Clones, Phantom Menace, and the one we watched for the second time yesterday or 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm. See, one of those, I'm like, I hated that.
I felt like I started to turn you when we watched the second one yesterday, but then Binge Mode turned you back. So,
No, I hated it the first time. I was meh about it the second time. And even after listening to that, I'm still just like, eh.
Yeah. I just felt like, I don't know. I guess just because I wanted to like it so bad, but at the same time, I just went in. I'm like, I just want to be entertained. It'll probably wind up being stupid because they've painted themselves into a corner by pandering to expectations.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's going to be what it is. And, you know, I think that they tied up some things nicely, mostly forced, but I mean, whatever. Like, you know, we can't sit here and pretend Return of the Jedi was a work of art either.
Oh, no, definitely.
Although I did get my wife's dog a stuffed Ewok for Christmas, so.
Nice.
My dog got a Porg, so, you know, they've got all the furry friends. But now we got to get Babu Frick up in this place.
That was a great part about the movie.
Yeah. So was Wedge in the gunner's seat. I don't care. All right, so what am I looking forward to this week? I don't know. I'm really not a big New Year's guy. Like, I always feel like New Year's is just kind of like, okay, it's 2020. Like,
yeah.
You know, I would try to be better almost every day rather than just like waiting for the new year, you know, and whatever. But I guess I am I'm off from work for the next 2 days, and I haven't taken a lot of time off from work this year. So I'm just looking forward to relaxing, maybe being a little lazy, watching some Star Wars Rebels, which I've started to get a little bit more into, and just relaxing and watching some Star Wars, End of the Mandalorian, Rebels, all that.
Yeah, mine was going to be End of the Mandalorian.
I'm definitely, you know, as I was talking, I'm like, oh, he's going to take this. I'm going to take it.
That was mine. I guess my other one is watching the college football playoff this weekend.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Cool. All right. That's it.
That is it. So thank you, everyone, again for listening. Hope everyone had a happy holiday, and hope everyone has a very happy new year. Are we going to talk before then?
I was thinking, because Thursday I'll probably be a little busy with work. It'll be like the first day everybody's back. We could probably record New Year's Day. I mean, I'll probably talk to you, you know, within the next hour of us finishing recording this about something. But yes. Yeah.
So,
but recording-wise, we'll probably, yeah, we'll record after New Year's. We'll record next in 2020.
All right. Well, then hope everyone enjoys the rest of 2019. Have a happy and safe New Year, and we will talk to you soon.
See you later, everybody.